grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. This Pentecost Sunday is the day of the Holy Spirit. We remember not only the events surrounding the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that He would pour out upon His believers the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we also concentrate on the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring sinners to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. And this work is accomplished through the preaching of the gospel. Pentecost was an Old Testament church festival day. It was like our Thanksgiving. It was the harvest festival. And it took place 50 days after the celebration of that great feast of remembrance, the Passover. So it was that Jesus, who was crucified in connection with the Passover, 40 days later ascended into heaven and said, "You wait. Wait till I give you the Spirit." And so it was 50 days after His resurrection that on the day of Pentecost, remarkable things began to happen. The second chapter of Acts tells us, first of all, that there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Perhaps similar here in the Midwest to the sound that a tornado makes as it passes through. It got the attention of the people. And then in that place where the apostles and believers were gathered, there appeared in the heads of the apostles those divided tongues of fire, bringing to our remembrance how the gospel would spread through preaching like a fire. And then, most remarkably of all, as all the people gathered and they'd come to Jerusalem for the festivals of the Passover and Pentecost from all over the Roman nation, and all of these people had their own dialect, their own languages. But on this day, the apostles proclaimed the gospel in the language of the people that were there. The apostles were ignorant, uneducated fishermen. And here they were able to preach in all of these languages. Now, some of the people thought, well, maybe they're out of their mind. Maybe they're drunk. 9 o'clock in the morning. Peter then got up and preached a sermon. So it should be easy for me today because I'm simply going to preach Peter's sermon to you. The first thing he did is to tell the people that this was in fulfillment of God's prophecy through the prophet Joel, that He would pour out His Spirit among His people, and wondrous things would happen. And then we have recorded in the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse, as you find it in your bulletins, Peter's Pentecost sermon. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For as David says concerning him, this is from Psalm 16, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I should not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, a descendant, that is, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of whom we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. These are the words the Holy Spirit has recorded for our study this morning. The sermon of Peter could be summarized with his conclusion, know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When Peter began his sermon, he didn't even refer to that miraculous gift of tongues that they enjoyed. Peter didn't encourage the people in Jerusalem to seek the gift of tongues through the Spirit, but instead he used the Spirit to point the people to Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, that Galilean village far north. Nothing good came out of Nazareth. But Peter tells the people that this Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to, witnessed to, confirmed to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he emptied himself of his power, divinity. The miracles that he did were done by God through him as signs that he was indeed the Son of God and the promised Messiah. Think of those signs, seven signs recorded by John in his gospel. Not just the wedding of Canaan, but the feeding of the 5,000. Five loaves, two fishes. Had to get their attention, and it did. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Well, in spite of these signs and wonders, in spite of the Father's witness, the chosen people of God seized him and by lawless hands crucified him and put him to death. The trial was illegal. The charges were trumped up. And yet, they put Jesus to death. But the story didn't end there. Because God raised him up. He unloosed the chains of death which held Jesus. It was not possible that death could hold our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says this was prophesied by David 1,000 years before, Psalm 16. David prophesied, "You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." In this context, what David is saying is, "You will not leave my body in the grave, and my body will not be touched by the corruption, the decomposition of death." But David wasn't talking about himself, because his tomb is still there. His bones were still there. He was dead. David was talking about the promised Messiah. Verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up in fulfillment of David's prophecy by the Spirit, of whom we are witnesses." And not only that, Jesus ascended, returned to glory to sit on the right hand of the Father, his enemies, his footstool. Again, prophesied by David in Psalm 68. The conclusion, therefore, verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, certainly, without doubt, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and the Messiah." The emphasis on Pentecost, the emphasis on the Holy Spirit, the emphasis on the preaching of the gospel is to proclaim Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, risen, and ascended, the Lord and Savior, the promised Messiah. And what happened this day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was poured out. And through the word that Peter proclaimed, we're told that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit convicted them of their sin. And they cried out, "What shall we do?" Peter, through the Holy Spirit, gave them the simple answer of the gospel. The words spoken by Paul later to the jailer Philippi, when after the earthquake, prison opened, he said, "What shall I do to be saved?" The answer again was the answer of the Spirit: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." So Peter told them, repent. Repent in the broader sense means to change your mind to feel sorry for your sins. But it also includes then to believe that Jesus is God's answer for your sins. So he called on these people who had crucified Jesus to acknowledge, to confess, as David did in Psalm 51, their sins, to turn to God and to believe that this Jesus, crucified, risen, descended, was their Lord and their Savior. And he went on, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus." Be baptized for the remission, for the cleansing, for the washing away of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit was not the speaking in tongues referred to here. The gift of the Holy Spirit was the forgiveness of sins, which we receive by faith. Faith created in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And this gospel message of forgiveness is for everybody. It is to you. The promise is to you, to your children, and all of those afar off, Gentiles, pagans, heathen. This message of salvation is for all. As many as the Lord our God will call through the gospel. Now, the Holy Spirit's work was not confined just to this day of Pentecost. Even though, on this day, 3,000 people were baptized. And the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. The miracle of Pentecost continued through the book of Acts as God, through the apostles, through Stephen, through Philip, through the Roman soldier Cornelius, through Saul, whom we know as Paul, continued to proclaim the gospel. People were added by the power of the Holy Spirit to the church. And he continued to work through the ages, through the time of Luther, through the time of the gospel being restored. And the Holy Spirit continues to work today in our hearts and lives, in our work as a congregation, a church body. It is not our work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our task simply then is to proclaim both law and gospel. We talked about this morning in Bible class. The law, which condemns and reveals our sinfulness, and the gospel, the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, which heals us, which brings to our hearts forgiveness and gives hope to our lives. Repent. Be baptized. The Lord has worked. And so today we celebrate the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, but we also celebrate His work of bringing us to faith. As Luther said, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified, and keeps me in the true faith." Our existence today as believers, our gathering together today to hear the Word, is a testimony to the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the second half of the church year I like to refer to as the Sundays in Pentecost. The Sundays which reveal the work and miracle of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And so we ask that the Holy Spirit would be with us as individuals, dwelling in our hearts, making our bodies His temple. And that the Holy Spirit would continue, as He has promised, to see to it that the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth and that it will accomplish God's purposes. Because in there you saw in verse 23 how all of this happened according to the determined purpose and the foreknowledge of God. Last Sunday we ended our study of the book of Revelation saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." We begin the season of Pentecost by saying, "Come, O Holy Spirit." Amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you that on the day of Pentecost, you established your New Testament church through the preaching and hearing of the Word. And we ask that you would continue to bless this Word with your power as you open the hearts of people everywhere to Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given to us sinners the ability through your power to examine ourselves, to repent of our sins, and to call upon Jesus in faith. Thanks to your work through baptism, we are reborn children of God, heirs of eternal salvation. We pray that having begun this work in us through baptism, that you would continue it to our end through the Word. For you brought us to faith, you called us to righteousness, and you have chosen our bodies to be your holy temple and dwelling place. You have done this through the gospel, the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us then each day of our lives drown our old man, in order that a new man may come forth, living before God in righteousness and true holiness. Remind us also, always, that we are God's beloved children by faith in Jesus. We pray that when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, that you would take our prayers, translate them to the throne of God. We pray that you would give us the assurance of faith amidst the trials and tribulations of this present world. And we pray that you would continue to help us to sanctify our bodies in this immoral age in which we live, that we may dedicate ourselves to Jesus Christ. Today we especially pray for Mary Smith, be undergoing surgery this Tuesday. We thank you for her faith. We pray now that you would be with the doctors during her surgery. And we pray that you would give us the confidence to entrust her into your care. We also pray this morning for the Morrises who were involved in an accident on the way to church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that they were spared serious injuries. We pray now that you remind us all of how important our lives are and how short they may be. And we also commend to your care Bill Issett, that you continue to be with him and strengthen him in his faith as he runs his race with endurance. We ask all these things as we come together in the name of Jesus to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Day of the Spirit, we continue with hymn 229.